And it's Scott Simmons. We're back with the Radio Real Estate Show. I've got a guest in the studio today, Alex Danny. And now we're going to start talking about the actual, some of the houses in Calgary that are for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're just looking at different real estate agents ads in the Calgary Real Estate News. And
so one of the things we talked about is, you know, talked about, Scott, you said coming to Salt Spring is a good deal.
I think so.
Can you just capitalize on, for people coming from Alberta, why it would be a good deal?
Well, let's say you had a house like this house here in Mackenzie, a Mackenzie Lake, a two-story house. It's listed at $368,000. I mean, you could wash out of a house like that. Now, that's just an average subdivision way down the south of Calgary. And, you know, for $300,000, I mean, we have houses now on Salt Spring down around the $350,000 range.
Really?
Which is something that, you know, 2 years ago, you could not find anything, well, about 2.5 years ago, for under 500.
Under five, right.
You know, if a house came up at $499,000, it was just like flocked of people, you know, going in, and there'd be offers, multiple offers. I mean, during the peak of the boom here, I mean, I know all the realtors on the island, and I would know all their cars, and I mean, during the average day, you know, I'd pass every single one of them two or three times a day with their loads of people.
Just running people around, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, it felt like we were a full-time taxi service some days, just, you know, tons of people. And the showings, and if it was a hot listing at, you know, or, you know, anything below, like $499,000 would just be on fire, and boom, 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 offer sold.
Wow.
And now, you know, someone could literally sell that house in Mackenzie Lake and find a somewhat decent place here. I mean, we're seeing houses at, you know, and we've had the high end of the market drop off. The $1 million homes, you know, let's, if someone bought a $2 million waterfront home in 2006, they're probably lost about $1 million if they paid two for it. I mean, the high-end homes here have been battered. I mean, they've been just totally battered down in price. I mean, there's just, but we hadn't seen an erosion in that lower mid-range home, like the $500,000 home. That market had stayed
stuck there. Okay.
It had stayed fairly steady.
That's
and
good.
Now we're seeing an erosion in that low end, the $500,000 homes. We're seeing, this is the first time I've seen kind of an erosion of that price. It's almost as it's like the stock market. You know, you have, in stocks, there's support levels. You know, a stock will go up in price, then it'll come back down and hit a support level. At a certain price, people will buy it, because, and then it reaches that plateau area where it kind of, and it's got support. And now we're seeing that support erode, mm-hmm. and we're seeing prices. I mean, we had clients buy a decent place in under the low 300s just recently.
Well, that's good.
Decent little house. I liked it. Duplex zoned. I thought it was a great deal.
Right. Okay.
And I mean,
so now when we're talking about average age and talking about Salt Spring, and I don't know what the average age of, say, Calgary would be.
Well, I would suspect
probably
be similar to Airdrie. I mean, I would suspect
potentially. So, as a positive aspect for anybody from Alberta, average age selling their home that they already own or right. have a small mortgage on for $550,000.
Oh yeah,
600.
They'd be laughing all.
There's something in the papers here, of course, for 5 or 8 million.
Yeah.
You know whether whether they would sell, whether they can sell a house like that in Alberta. But say you say
those things are liquid there. I mean, things seem to be selling fast. You know,
you expect
to get a sale in 30 to 60 days. And
yeah.
I mean, look at these houses. Like, here's one nice little house backing on the golf course out of Chestermere for $629,900. I mean, you know, who knows? Maybe they'll get 616 for it or 617, but
right.
it'll sell. I mean,
pay off your debts and, you know,
Chestermere Lake, $750,000. And it's not on the lake. We're talking just out that area.
And how many square feet is that?
It doesn't say.
Okay. Okay. So if somebody could say somebody owned that home and they wanted to move to Salt Spring, what would that person, what type of home would that person be looking
Gosh,
for?
Here's one in Cochrane. 123 acres in Cochrane. Nice, you know, kind of an ugly house, actually. $5.5 million.
Oh, yeah. The area that we were staying in, expensive. Ghost, I was telling you about that when I phoned in on the radio show that one day. Ghost Lake.
Ghost Lake. My cousin's got a place.
Okay.
Well, right in that little village.
There's a place there. It's listed on Sotheby's, I believe. It was $18
million. 18.
But it's a deal. It's down to $12
million. What a deal. Gosh, do they only have one available? Darn.
These are the kinds of stats that we're seeing there.
Yeah.
Right? So...
No, we're seeing, prices have gone up there. The market's hot there. Things are selling fast. And here, we're languishing.
Right. So that's an open door for somebody from somebody else to invest in our area.
You know, you want to sell. The only way you make money in real estate, other than buying and fixing up a place, and you can only do that when the market's fairly liquid and hot. You got to buy low, fix it up, and then sell it. Mm-hmm. The only way to make money is, see, if you're in your own market, let's say you're on Salt Spring Island and you have a house right now, and, you know, it was interesting, I was at a house the other night for a political party meeting, and it was listed originally at $650, it's now down to, I think, $498, still not sold. So the thing is, even if they sold it, let's say they sell it for $450, and they buy another house on Salt Spring at $425 or $450, you don't make money doing a lateral move in the same market.
No.
You're still in the same market. The idea is you want to come from a hot market and buy in a low market.
Right.
Or if our market went really crazy and their market went down, then you sell in the hot market and then you buy in that low market, wait for it to change, and then ride it the other way. That's how... Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. My brother's in Toronto right now, and I keep telling him the market there is too hot. It's going to implode in Toronto, and it's going to come down.
And it has imploded. I remember in '87, everybody moving away from Victoria because there were no jobs there, and they went there for 4 or 5 or 6 years, and then 7 or 8 years later, they come back with their tails between their legs.
But you know, ideally, typically that's what happens, is people, when the market craters, you have to leave, and so you have to go to where the jobs are. So then you sell your house on the down cycle, and then you go somewhere, like let's say you went to Edmonton, you bought a house, well, you're buying into the up cycle.
Up cycle, right.
So ideally, you want to be selling at the up cycle in those places now, and moving to the down cycle place, but... The mass psychology of people is that we sell in the low market because, well, there's no jobs. I'm leaving Salt Spring. I don't care what my house is worth. I just got to sell it. There's no jobs here. I'm going to move to Edmonton. So your house that you paid $500,000 for 2 years ago, the realtor will come out and say, well, I'll get you $350,000. So you take this whopping big loss at the low. You move there. You buy at this hot, hot market that's really peaking up.
Right. 2 years later, they have a crash.
2 years later, the Chinese decide that their economy has gone sideways and they're not buying as much oil. The oil prices drop. The Edmonton market drops. And at that same time, a lot of people are moving to Salt Spring. The market here is hot. So you sell your house in Edmonton as a loss. You move here. That same house is now $650 here.
Let's
so now see. You've taken a $300,000 bath. You bought the same house back for $650. And if you do that over a longer period of time...
Yeah, you're going downhill.
I guarantee you'll be broke.
Yeah.
The only way you make money in real estate is to be a contrarian in the market. You got to have enough brains, enough balls to say, look it, you got to beat the market in that when and realize that you're in a high cycle. The market is high. You sell at the highs and you buy at the low. You have to do that. Most people
bottom line.
Most people always go the other way. You know? My brother's going to end up buying in his hot market in Toronto. He's going to end up buying at the peak, even though he won't listen to me. He'll end up owning his house. The market in Toronto is going to crater. The house, he'll be underwater in the house. He'll end up selling it. You know,
so in his situation now, he should probably sell that house right
don't
now
buy.
And rent something.
Don't buy in Toronto. When the market is frothy, their sales to listing ratio last year was at 90% last spring. I don't know what it's at right now. I haven't checked. But it was crazy. And did you know last week there was a big article in the paper about these condos in Toronto, these glass tower condos?
Oh, yeah. They want to put them out by the airport.
Well, the problem is all these glass tower condos in Toronto, they've realized that they've been sold a bill of goods that's worthless, because after anywhere from 10 to 15 years, all the argon is leaking out of the glass, and the windows are leaking, and it is mega, mega money for the Stratas to fix them all. So they're getting a nasty version of the leaky condos.
Leaky condo version.
All of a sudden, it'll take the steam out of the condo market there. When you take the steam out of the condo market, then you take the steam out of the real estate market, and all of a sudden, the whole thing just starts to come unraveled. And Toronto market's going to come unwound, and then it'll go down, and that's when people will bail. And they never sell at the peak. People never sell at the peak, because you know why people don't sell at the peak?
They think they're going to hang on longer and make and benefit
more.
Further.
Make yep. more. Hey, yeah. look at this. We'll make more.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's why my advice to anybody in Toronto or Calgary is get out of Dodge quickly.
Yeah.
Get that city in your rearview mirror as fast as you can.
Or sell it and rent back the same house.
Just
I did that.
Sell out, and then, and you know, then the advantages you yeah. want when... All of the contractors and all of the finishing carpenters and everybody in their job is going there for a job in Alberta, and the traffic's all one way, and the U-Haul has a special rate coming back to the coast because nobody wants to come back to the coast. Hey, load it up. You'll probably get a really low rate if you say to U-Haul, you know, I want to go out to the island. And that's when you come out here and you buy at the low.
Low. Right now is the perfect time to buy.
When everybody else is thinking that the world is on fire here, the Vancouver Island is going to sink into the ocean, and Salt Springs, just you know, real estate prices are never going to come back, and it's just over, mm-mm. that's when you want to be in there buying.
Exactly.
And you've got a selection of 500 houses on the real estate market here.
Right here on Salt Spring.
500. Wow. There's so many. I mean, maybe not 500 on listed on the real estate market, because a lot of people have just taken their listings off for the winter. But I tell you, there's 500 houses for sale you could find on this island. I mean, we got a huge selection, every price point.
And you mentioned the condo market. I mean, we're talking about real estate, and we're flipping, you know, coming from province to province here. But the whole world's economy really relies on selling and buying of homes and demand for energy, right?
Energy, I mean, the economy is here.
Roads and so forth. So now condos, you mentioned condos.
Condos.
There aren't a lot of condos on Salt Spring. There's probably a limited number of them, and there's only X numbers allowed to be built within the OCD. How does that work?
Well, there's, you know, we could still put in a lot of condos on Salt Spring. I mean, most of the people running at most of the all candidates meeting and most of the talk on the island is that, you know, the ideal solution going forward with the island is to build up the density in the core area. Mm-hmm. You know, if you build up the density in the core area, then you cut back on the carbon, you know, greenhouse gas emissions, you cut back on the amount of travel people have to do, you make the island greener, you can concentrate services.
That's a very good point. And for a green island, you know, going green can mean more than
one
thing.
Ideally, you don't want more 5-acre lot parcels on Salt Spring. That's more, it's not really urban sprawl, it's like a suburban sprawl.
Right, it forces people to use their car to come to town to buy groceries or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, you've got sprawl all over the island. You know, it's fascinating you mentioned Europe, you know. That's the one difference. When I first went to Europe and I used to live there, the first striking thing was how, I mean, it's because of their history. Everybody, I lived in a town of 400 people. It literally was a walled town at one time, had a wall all the way around it.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
never expanded outside that wall.
Right.
They've built it up because outside that wall is all the farmers' fields. All the farmers live in town. There's no farmhouses, right?
Okay, interesting.
So, I mean, there is no urban sprawl in the country. It's
the
all
mentality
contained.
Is 1,000% difference.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, here everybody wants their acreage with their house and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. Oh, now we have to put a road there, pipe gas out
so
there.
Ideally, we're going to see more condos on Salt Spring, downtown, in the core.
I think it would make sense.
And
I mean,
probably, in my opinion, the most economical thing and most green thing would be to go up in the core.
Yeah.
Go up to 6 or 8 stories, 10 stories.
And, you know, keep the designs so that they're eye appeal.
I mean, I mentioned to a few people I would really love to see a 30-story building downtown Kansas.
How to create a controversy on Salisbury.
Well, the thing
talking about building more than three stories.
But the thing is, the more density downtown, then, you know, like, I really like going to a pub, and I don't drink much. I like to have, you know, a couple beer, have a few laughs. That's about my max, is maybe two. But, you know, I'm still, if I have two at Moby's or something, I'd be scared to drive home. I'd be paranoid.
Yeah, you're already over the limit with
I'd
one.
I'd be absolutely paranoid. Where, you know, if you live in town, people will go out to a restaurant, have a couple glasses of wine.
Sure. It's an economy stimulator, in fact, you know. And we were in downtown Calgary on a Saturday night, I think it was. At this Thai restaurant, and we went at 7.
Oh, you were telling me, was it good?
The best Thai food I think we've ever eaten.
Where was it?
It was right on 10th Avenue, right down by the river, downtown. Okay. Right. Took a while to find it, but...
How'd you find it?
The good old GPS on the iPhone. Google Maps.
So you and Heidi just too?
Yeah, no, and then I took all my cousins out for dinner downtown.
From Cochrane all the way to downtown?
No, the cousins that are from Fernie, Heidi's cousins.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the whole family. So, get this, though. Take 8 people out to dinner in Victoria with drinks. What would you put a price tag on that for?
$300, I don't know.
Yeah. So, for $200, there was 8 of us out for dinner with drinks.
That's amazing.
In downtown Calgary.
That's amazing.
You don't have the 12% tax.
Oh, yeah. Well, they still have the GST.
They have 5% tax.
GST. Just 5%. Yeah.
Now, there's something else. I mean, there's tax on everything, of course, but that's something else that BC and the housing market situation.
Wow, this whole controversy. What's included in HST? What isn't? I mean,
yeah. And how is, or have you noticed, you know, maybe a downside in people buying? Because they were afraid of the tax issue?
Well,
could you maybe want to touch on that?
Or? Yeah, it's whenever you hang a big dark cloud over anything, just makes people think, oh, it could rain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, the thing is, it's one of those stupid things, and then have the referendum, and now do we have HST still? I thought they lost the referendum.
I think they're still calling it HST for about 2 more years, and then we go back to the 2 separate taxes.
Well, do they really, or are they just going to call it, they're going to change the name probably to PST/GST, but they'll leave it all the same because they don't want to hire the people? I mean, it's like...
I don't know.
You know, I don't know.
And that's just it, you know. What is going to make a change as far as... you know, sales. And, okay, then on the flip side of
that... Well, I think that, you know, a lot of it can be down at the local level, and a lot of it is, I mean, and it's not just that I'm pro George Graham's winning the Islands Trust vote, and, you know, I listened to all the candidates, but I had no idea. He brought up some valid points, and I don't know how true it is because I didn't go down and find out for myself, but he said that... Slegg's application for rezoning of their new land down off Bettis Road has been on the cards for about 7 years. I mean, I don't know if the application's been in for 7 years. But
or it's just in a jar of molasses and it's been permanently winter.
I mean, the thing is, you know, stuff like
get
that
on with
is,
it.
I mean, that's where, you know, either no, you cannot do it, end of story, or yes, you can do it, but you have to do this, this, and this,
right.
And we want it done within 60 days, and then here's your stupid permit, get on with it. I mean, that's how, you know, you either have to put the bar and say, okay, you need to, it'll have to have different drainage, and you'll have to have screens on that creek, and you'll have to have all this stuff, and here's the rules, just, but you have to do this, and here's your permit.
Yeah.
Because
change
is inevitable.
But just
dragging these things out,
right, so.
It makes it worse. It makes it, well, I mean, it's like self-inflicted pain. I would not want to buy a piece of real estate on this island and actually think that I would get it rezoned for commercial and put in a business on Salt Spring. I think I'd rather go take a shotgun and blow my right foot off.
You'd probably have more success.
It would probably be less painful,
and
it would probably heal faster. The chances of me growing another foot would probably be higher than getting the...
Science and modern technology, I'm sure they could clone one.
No, I mean, so the problem is once, you know, and it's just not knowing and not being able to get it finalized.
Right.
So hopefully we're going to get some change on this front. And
so do you think it's things like that that are slowing down the local economy?
I think it's a combination of a lot of those things. The other thing is I really believe that, you know, Pat, the lady that really has been writing about the Arts Council, has got a valid point. I mean, we need to really focus in on the arts on Salt Spring and really, really, mm-hmm. a concerted effort to really push the arts on Salt Spring. I think you have to look at what our fundamental core belief is, and I think on Salt Spring our fundamental core belief is the arts and artists and music and, you know, like, and let's get behind it and let's really do something with the arts and let's make it a spectacular place. Like, let's not strive for mediocre. Let's make it absolute spectacular, the world-leading arts
yep.
community. And if we did that, you know, it's the old thing, build it, they will come.
That's true. And since you mentioned that, ironically, when I did talk to people in Alberta and I did mention Salt Spring, most of the younger people would say, I have no idea where... You know,
right.
I've never been to BC. I know nothing about BC.
Right.
I know nothing. But say 55 or older, oh, of course, I've been to Salt Spring. Oh, of course, I know where Salt Spring is. And they would start naming off some of the famous artists, whether they're writers
right.
Or,
right.
or musicians or whatever, that live here. And the one contractor fellow that we're actually doing some projects for, he's 59, and he wants to slow down a little and become, and he has become more of a wildlife photographer slash writer. But he loves doing the traditional woodwork, and he can't pass down good work.
Well, ask
right?
him if he wants to buy a house. I can get good listings. I've got a really nice one, 109 Baker Drive, beautiful shop.
Ah, I think I know what it is.
Double car garage.
I think
and
I know the house.
The seller might be willing to leave. It's got all wired for a shop. It's beautiful. It'd be the perfect house for him. There's a little self-promotion plug.
To do his wildlife photography in, yeah.
Well, we're going to stop for a quick commercial break, and that'll be the end of our show for the Radio Real Estate Show. So Johnny DeVille is in next with his Rock Machine radio show. Johnny plays incredible rock music. If you like rock and roll like I do, and Johnny is the king of rock and roll, he will be in a few minutes. So we're gonna play a few commercial breaks, and then we'll come back for one quick little snippet, and then Johnny will be in shortly. So thank you, Salt Spring, for listening today, and we'll be right back with a quick snippet after these ads from our valued sponsors.
You're listening to CFSI FM 107.9 and online at cfsi-fm.com. Salt Spring Island Radio.
And so it's Scott Simmons here with the Radio Real Estate Show. So, and I've got my guest today, Alex Denny, who's back on the rock from Alberta, out there working, making money. Great carpenter he is. You got to go where the jobs are.
That's right. And, you know, okay, I have a couple of things to say about Alberta. I like Salt Spring. In Alberta, in Calgary, they don't know what real wood is. It's all... MDF trims, it's all OSB subfloors.
Well, that's why you're not working in Calgary itself.
That's
right. Why you've decided to stay out. And
we're going to the mountain towns like Canmore, Cochrane, you know.
A little bit more high-end, nicer houses.
Yeah, well,
for
a regular condo in Canmore, in a fiveplex, is $850,000.
Each. Wow.
Yeah, and they maybe are 1,500 feet.
Wow.
So, but they're importing alder from BC, and so all the doors and all the casings and all the, not the kitchen itself, but all the finished trim are you know, solid wood imported from BC. So it was really, that was sort of the clincher for me.
Well, thank you, Alex, mm-hmm. for making this special trip back just to go on the radio.
Hey, Scott, for you, well, you know.
And we'll look forward to getting your tweets and Facebook updates. And you're headed back. When are you headed back?
Saturday already. We've got two contracts lined up and two or three more after that. So it looks like we're busy for a while.
Be out there all winter making money to pay the bills.
Pay the bills, and, well, there's taxes from, you know, from years gone by.
It all catches up to us.
Yeah,
well, thank you, Alex, for coming by the show.
You're very welcome. Johnny DeVille brought us cookies, and I said we got to stop talking because we're stuffing our faces already.
Sure. So we'll let Johnny take over. And thank you for listening to the Radio Real Estate Show today. Have yourself a wonderful day on Salt Spring Island. And again, a big congratulations to all the people that voted on this last election. And one more quick plug before we go. I want to say, thank you to GVM, Country Grocer. Country Grocer Paul Large has made a fantastic donation to Richard Clark Bourne sailing team from Salt Spring Island that are going in the 2012 Olympics.
Wow.
Country Grocer made a $10,000 donation, half in food, half in cash to the campaign.
Wow.
So I was fortunate enough to be there on Saturday and shot a little video of it. And we have it up on YouTube. It's on Facebook and Twitter. And I just think that, it's the first time in my memory that anybody I've talked to, I don't think anybody from Salt Spring has ever gone to the Olympic Games before. So it's kind of nice to see Country Grocer step up and be the first major on-island sponsor. Mm-hmm. And so what we're going to do is Paul has ordered a bunch of T-shirts. And when the T-shirts come in, I'm going to get another video down at Country Grocer about the their sponsorship.
Sounds good.
And really promote Country Grocer for it's a chance to have a bit of the Olympic Games on Salt Spring because we have someone from Salt Spring going to the Olympics. I mean, it just to me, it's
yeah. And what about some of the other businesses stepping up to sponsors?
Well, who knows? I mean, it's tough times for most of the businesses, but it's just nice to get one,
Absolutely. And with one follows another. So if any of the other businesses
A grassroots thing too. If we build it and keep sponsoring, and that's why it's on the Salt Spring Facebook thing, the copy of the video, you can see it. And I'm going to put it on the community list, and just watch it. And then when you're down at Country Grocer, tell Paul, hey, glad to see you're sponsoring the sailing team.